Welcome to the Slow Style Home Podcast. I am so happy you're here. If you want to create a beautiful home that isn't cookie cutter or a trendy copy of someone else's, you're in the right place. And if you don't want to hurt your wallet or the planet to get one of those dream homes. And you can get started with my brand new quiz called Fix My Room. It's actually more of an assessment tool, but the word quiz, I think, sounds better because it's really easy to do. Just answer 20 multiple choice questions and you'll be pinpointing why your room isn't working, why it feels off, and why maybe your previous efforts haven't really panned out. Or maybe you're fairly happy with your room, but you want to make sure that your design choices are going in the right direction. Visit our website at slowstylehome.com and click on the quiz button right at the top. I'll tell you a little bit more about it later in the show. Now, let's dig into this week's episode. Hello, and welcome to the Style Matters podcast, brought to you by Little Yellow Couch, an online interior design coaching company. I'm Zandra, your host, and I am so glad you're here. I have a question for you. Do you want to be living in your dream home right now? It doesn't have to be your forever home, but don't you want wherever you are right now to be beautiful and feel meaningful? The question is, how do you create that? Especially if you have a limited budget for new things, or you can't afford an interior designer, or maybe you don't want to hire someone, you just wish you could figure out all of the colors and styles and floor plans yourself. With over 25 years of experience, I've figured out what works for me, and I've also created a framework that you can follow that will work for you. So if you're listening around the time this episode goes live, then you'll be able to sign up for a free workshop where I'll teach you that exact framework. It's called The Four Skills You Need to Create Your Signature Style. It's live on Zoom with me, where after my presentation, I'll stay on for Q&A. You can ask me anything about your home. There are 4 dates to choose from starting this week, so hop on it, because you can only get this workshop through May 31st. Again, yes, it's free, and I think you're going to get a lot out of it. For more info, go to littleyellowcouch.com and click on Workshop. Now, before we get started, I want to thank today's sponsor. Sponsors are part of the reason this show can stay on the air and keep bringing you great interviews. So thank you so much to Annie's Kit Clubs. Annie's Kit Clubs enable you to add handcrafted elements to your home with everything delivered to your door. They specialize in DIY crochet, knit, and sewing projects, and they also have a few other kinds of kits as well. These are beginner-friendly, but also range into every skill level. For example, they've got this Afghan Block of the Month Club, where you'll crochet your own heirloom quality Afghan, featuring a unique pattern for each block. So you'll be learning or perfecting dozens of stitches while creating a beautifully textured final blanket. Each kit includes all the yarn and patterns to crochet 3 new blocks per month. You crochet 30 blocks in all, and your 11th kit walks you through finishing your Afghan. So I love the pacing of these projects. You just do a little at a time so that a big project like an Afghan doesn't feel so overwhelming. Now, if you're more of a sewer, another great kit is the Charm Pack Club. You know, if you love seeing a stash of fabrics just waiting for the perfect project, you're going to get plenty with this one, because you get a new shipment of 42 pieces from America's top fabric designers every month. And they always include a new pattern added to your online library, so you never run out of ideas. And here's the best part, okay? Annie's is offering listeners of this podcast 75% off the first month of a kit subscription. That's right, 75% off your first month using promo code STYLEMATTERS75. Now, I've had a lot of sponsors in the past. Nobody's offered anything like this before. You can use it on any monthly subscription. If you or your best friend or your mom, your babysitter, kids, anyone you know loves to do a DIY project, this is perfect. I'll link to everything in the show notes page for this episode, but you can also just go straight to annieskitclubs.com and use the code STYLEMATTERS75 at checkout. Again, that's annieskitclubs.com and use STYLEMATTERS75 at checkout. All right, let's jump into today's episode. Michelle Rohrer Lauer owns the design firm Michelle's Interiors in Chicago, where she creates luxurious homes that also meet her standards for sustainability, health, and well-being. And yeah, we're going to talk about how the environment is connected to our health in very specific ways inside our homes. I wanted to hear her thoughts on where the industry is in terms of eco-friendly design and whether it's becoming more accessible to all of us. After listening, check out the show notes page from this episode where we've linked to an article Michelle wrote outlining her thoughts and resources for sustainably manufactured flooring, rugs, fabrics, and finishes, as well as a link to the Sustainable Furnishings Council, which we talk about in this episode. All right, let's just get started. Michelle Rohrer Lauer, welcome to the Style Matters podcast. We're going to talk about some important things today.
Fantastic. I'm looking forward to it.
Good, good. So I want to ask you about your experience with the sustainable movement that we see now on a national scale. I'm wondering, when did you start becoming aware of the relationship between what we use to build our homes, what we use to furnish our homes, and our impact on the environment? I mean, is this something that you knew going into your training as an interior designer, or did you become aware of it a little bit later on?
So I would say I became aware of it after I graduated from design school.
Okay.
So shortly after, I probably started recycling our garbage.
Right.
You know,
right.
You know, to toss it away. Yeah. And that. And then I also came from where, you know, you bought quality. When I went to design school, it was all about quality, the construction, how materials were made, the finishing process, et cetera, and how you specified product for the application.
Okay.
And shortly after I graduated, I had this fabulous job at a wonderful, gorgeous retail furniture store, high end.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And there was this coffee table. I walked by it and I'd go, oh my God, I love this coffee table. And it was like made out of mahogany and burl wood, and it had little butler trays that pulled out.
Uh-huh.
I purchased it. That was my first piece of furniture, and I still have it today.
Oh, I love that. I love those stories.
So, and you know, what's great about that is that's what we're talking about with sustainability. You want to buy things that have longevity, you know, and, you know, fabrics. And what I have found throughout the years is that we got into a throwaway mindset.
Yeah.
And, replaced it for the word quality. I'd meet with people and they go, oh, Michelle, I'm gonna get tired of it. I only want it to last 3 or 5 years. I'm like, I don't know anybody who replaces their house every 3 to 5 years. But somehow people felt like they couldn't love something forever.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
Or change it as you change your lifestyle. Because trust me, my home has evolved throughout the years. My tastes have changed. You know, when you're in your 20s and 30s, you're different.
Yes, you totally are.
Yeah. And then this is a funny story. So in the early 2000s, I would say CFLs came out, compact fluorescents.
Right.
And they were like the hottest green sensation, right? Like,
right.
Oh my God, we got to change all our light bulbs and everything.
Uh-huh.
And I was, I guess I had an appearance on WGN TV.
Okay.
And it was all a green segment. And, you know, we're talking about the CFLs, and that was like, oh,
right.
That's cutting edge. And then later we found out those were really not good for the environment.
We thought they were, though, didn't we? Isn't that why we were supposed to be changing? Okay, I'm remembering this. Yes,
exactly.
Yes.
And, but, you know, then what happened was everything else we spoke about that day is still relevant today.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you know, having wool. Wool is a phenomenal product and yarn for carpeting materials. Everything can be re-spun. It can be reused. It's naturally stain resistant.
Oh, right.
It's a phenomenal product. But anyway, so we had that and we talked about great fabrics. So those are still all relevant today. And the other thing that I've been seeing a lot, and back then also, but I think it was harder for people to make the choice back then because of cost.
Yes.
But, you know, we had like recycled countertops out of glass.
And, yes.
You know, all these different options, but, you know, it was always more expensive mm-hmm. than your typical selections.
Right.
And so, but that, then that was always kind of called eco-friendly, right? Now
right.
we're into the word of sustainability.
Right.
And, you know, we started with food because I always tell people, I go, you know, when I started getting conscious of like, okay, I'm going to buy a baked chip or you're going to buy, you know, these other
right.
things.
Right.
It's, you could do a small amount, but whatever you do, it still made an impact on your health.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So it did start with food and our health and self-care and all of that. And a little bit slower to move over to the home goods, you know, sector. But it is, it's becoming more and more top of mind for people. And therefore, because I think the demand is up, I think manufacturers are kind of more likely to get on board. And I'm hoping what you're going to share with us is hopefully it's also becoming easier as consumers to find these products without having to, you know, go down rabbit holes on the internet to try to find things. But there's still a lot of confusion out there. So I really am looking forward to having you help us navigate through some of this stuff today. But first, I kind of want to frame it, big picture thinking here. Remind us or let us know, what are the benefits of choosing environmentally conscious, eco-friendly, sustainable, whatever you want to call it? What are the benefits of choosing those kinds of products before we get into some of the challenges?
Okay. Well, I think one of the things that people don't really think of a lot of times is the indoor air quality and
yes.
our health.
Okay.
You know, the polyurethane finishes, you know,
on
use
the floors.
Water-based. Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Or even on furniture sometimes. Mattresses.
Right.
You know, so, you know, a lot of mattresses have chemicals in them.
Yep.
And we sleep there.
Right.
And, you know, upholstery, again, how it's fabricated, you know, there's a lot of things, you know, when you're looking at furniture that
yep.
you don't see. And, you know, the other thing that I find that people are not aware of is like fire safety. So Underwriters Laboratory study shows, you know, like a home today with the products that we have inside our home today will go up in 4 to 5 minutes in a flash.
Oh.
And in a years ago, you know, and that's with using the synthetic materials
yeah.
and everything compared to, I think it was in the 50s, it would take, or 60s, it would take 60 minutes
right.
for the natural furnishings.
Wow, that's quite a big difference in terms of trying to get out of the house.
Yes, and I learned a lot of this front, you know, kind of front line, right? I have a client that he's a fire chief.
Oh,
and
that's
he
cool.
It is so cool because, you know, you get like, because I knew this information through Underwriters, but, you know, to talk to someone who's like in the front line
uh-huh.
of it, you know, was really interesting. He said there's times it's scary for his guys to go in.
Oh, I bet.
And, you know, years ago, you had more time to rescue people.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, but people realize, you know, that, you know, it is important what we put into our home, but I also feel it doesn't have to be everything. You don't have to, you know, it depends, you know, it's like eating. You could make small changes and it
yes.
makes a difference.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that because I do believe that that's the way all of us are going to kind of come around. I just
mm-hmm.
think it's really hard to do this big radical change where you start.
Yes.
It's just very expensive to do it that way. I mean, eating wise, it's like changing your diet overnight. That really is hard for people. But also in terms of our homes, you know, we're talking about the expense of replacing things or even disposing of them more responsibly can cost, you know, money. And so, yeah, we need to do a little bit at a time and it will hopefully add up. And so those are the benefits for our health. Mm-hmm. What about the benefits as a society or for our planet and those kinds of things?
So the Global Forest Watch, 2001 to 2020, we have lost 15% of our tree coverage, and the world has lost 10%, and the rate is increasing every year.
And we need those trees, obviously.
We do. So one of the things I think, so the Sustainable Furnishings Council, which I'm a member of, plus yeah. I have a certificate in it, but they have seen, you know, furniture makers are the third largest user of wood.
Really? I didn't know that. Behind who?
Construction and paper. Uh-huh.
Wow. Okay. Well, this is important then. You really can make an impact when you buy. So you can find furniture that is certified by the council. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And you can also, the other thing that's really great, let's just use Kravet Furniture, for instance.
Okay. Yeah.
They are, and I'm saying this across the board with people, and I can share different ones as we talk, but they have, you know, a very strong commitment to sustainability, but they also now have every order a designer places, they will plant a tree.
That's awesome.
I think it's fabulous. Simply fabulous.
Yes.
So it's not only being responsible manufacturing, but it's also giving back at the same time. So it's layering the improvement. And, you know, deforestation is globally the second leading cause of climate change.
Right, right.
So
the forests do so much for us. I mean, they always we always talk about them as being the lungs of the earth, and we need them for oxygen, but they also really help protect our ozone layer, right?
It's so important. And you know, and we just had our first grandchild, and you really, you know, you think about you know, the future. You want them to have a good generation, and you know, and we just have to make good choices for the future.
We're going to pause here for just a minute so that I can remind you about our upcoming free workshop called The 4 Skills You Need to Create Your Signature Style. It starts this week, and I'm only doing it 4 times. You've got 4 times to choose from. So you got to get on it now. When you show up, you'll see exactly how to create your dream home step by step. It's practical, hands-on, and very doable. So if you've been at all interested in taking what you've learned on this podcast and turning that inspiration into a reality inside your home, please join me. Again, there are 4 dates to choose from between May 25th, that's this week, and the 31st, which is Tuesday of next week. The workshops are on Zoom, so you can join me from the comfort of your home. Just go to littleyellowcouch.com and click on workshop for more info and to choose your date and time. All right, let's get back to today's episode. I also think there's so much that goes into the making of any product. I mean, in terms of natural resources, there's the wood, but there's also the water. There's the electricity that needs to be generated. You know, I mean, if you're talking about fabrics, I mean, water is involved. You know, you need a lot of water at some point during the manufacturing process. Yes, go ahead.
So I am so glad you brought that up, because what we are learning, many, many manufacturers, I had done a glass table years ago in the 2000s, actually, and they used, I studied how, you know, they recycled the rainwater and everything, but they used like almost zero water for manufacturing. Sub-Zero uses almost zero water for manufacturing.
Wow.
Costantino uses almost zero water for manufacturing. So companies have really put in mind as they're manufacturing, this is where it's in the heart of the manufacturer, because they're kind of ahead of the end user, the consumer.
Exactly. Yeah. Wow. That's so good to hear.
Yeah. So they're really taking it seriously, and they're making huge improvements. It's amazing.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's dive into some of these myths that I think are out there, or not even myths, but as you mentioned with the CFL light bulbs, things have changed, you know, so what might have been true 10 years ago, maybe we've made some progress. So let's kind of break some of those down. One assumption out there is that it's going to cost me more to whatever it is, if it's a, you know, patio stone, if it's a new table for my dining room, if it's curtains, if it's paint for my walls, whatever. Like there's an assumption that it's going to cost more. Is that still true? And what are we talking about in terms of a cost difference?
We'll be back after a quick break.
I just want to jump in here for a minute and remind you about the new free quiz that you can take at slowstylehome.com. It's called the Fix My Room quiz, and I've created it because a lot of times when we're ready to change up a room in our homes, we get stuck not knowing where to start or what to do first. I mean, do you paint the walls? Do you come up with a different floor plan? Do you declutter first and then buy all new stuff? It's daunting. So the quiz is designed as a way for you to assess what's not working so that you're pointed in the right direction in terms of what to focus on. Everything else can kind of fall away. After years of helping others look around their rooms and identify the possibilities for big, impactful changes, I figured out how you can do this assessment yourself. The 20 multiple choice questions will ask you about how your room is functioning and how your style is developing. Then you'll receive a detailed summary from me about what you should tackle first. No more guessing and no more throwing money away or time. Again, go to slowstylehome.com and click on the quiz button right at the top. All right, let's jump back into today's episode.
So I would say it depends a little bit, of course, of the level of product that you're looking at.
Okay.
I would say somewhere between 10 to 20% difference.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, I look at it that it's worth it when you make those choices because it improves our indoor air quality, our health, the health of the planet, fire safety.
Right.
And then I call it like your life insurance policy for the future.
I like that. Yes. Well, that's what I'm looking for. How do we reframe this so that we understand the true cost benefit analysis, which is, you know, yes, it may cost more money, but what does it cost you in other ways? And like you're saying, our health and our peace of mind and the planet's health and all of that.
One of the things that I think of, you know, to kind of, because it's a different territory. So we're trying to like, how do we compare that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people adjust to, you know, to price. I always think of like Whole Foods, whole paycheck, right? Wasn't it
I'm going to Whole Paycheck. Yeah.
Yeah. Whole Paycheck. Right. But you know, now Whole Foods is everywhere.
Yeah.
And the other thing is organic food is in every level of grocery store, from your discounted grocery stores to every store. So as I'm optimistic because as the demand gets higher, prices get lower.
That's right. That's right. I do think that that has changed a lot over the past 10 to even 20 years.
Yes.
Actually, I remember going with my parents in the 70s to some sort of, it was like, this must have been in the Jimmy Carter era. I remember going to some like green home expo or something. And it was like this brand new idea. Like we now need to start thinking about the environment when we're building our homes. And that would, anyway, I digress. I think we've come a long way, baby.
We have. I love that. That slogan's forever.
It is such a good slogan, even though it's cigarettes.
Yeah.
Okay. So cost. So another one that I think people have assumptions about that may or may not be true. I alluded to this earlier, how difficult it is to find these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the research you have to do, like, let's just pick, I don't mean to pick on any particular big box store, but let's just say Crate and Barrel. Okay. It's a big one. the amount of effort it would take me to research whether or not their particular coffee table is sustainably manufactured. Now, I don't know. I haven't been on the Crate and Barrel website doing this kind of research, so maybe it is front and center, but I guess that's my question. How hard is it still to find and to source goods like this? And do you start by going to a store and looking to see if they have a sustainability kind of platform, or do you, like a brand, I mean, mm-hmm. or do you start by looking, like, do we Google sustainably made furniture and then see what pops up? Like, how do we do this?
So you're correct, because you can always get in that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And because you're not quite know what to look for either.
Exactly.
One of the things, so you can always visit the Sustainable Furnishings Council website, because they have all the manufacturers on their site.
Okay, great. Great. And I'm going to list anything that you tell us.
Okay.
Today, I'm going to list it in the show notes page, just so everyone listening, you don't have to get out your pencil right now. You can, there will be links on the show notes page, but please keep going, Michelle.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. And then, you know, you can always, if you're looking for a specific item, you could just Google it. But okay. Another way is to go to a retail store. It doesn't have to be one brand. It could be a retailer that shows different brands.
Yeah, like a furniture store. Right.
Exactly. And I feel that all of them have a sustainable collection.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And a lot of brands, even if all of their furniture may not be sustainable, they'll have collections.
Okay, right.
And then
that's interesting.
The design, you know, if there's a designer on staff or a salesperson, they can help you through the knowledge of it, because they probably have been trained in it.
You know, I was just, we just bought a new mattress, and I think of myself as being aware of mm-hmm. sustainability issues, but more for the planet and less for my own health. Mm-hmm. So when we were mattress shopping, It was actually a really nice process, the way we were taken through it and all of the different options we were shown, and also the different price levels. And I appreciated that they weren't pushing us toward one particular price level. So I was excited. And we get it home. And of course, on the floor, when you're trying out the mattresses, they've been there for a little while. You don't notice the off-gassing. We get it home. I had to keep the windows open in our bedroom, even though it's wintertime, for like 6 days. And I still sometimes wonder, do I smell something here? So I'm telling you a very specific story. I don't mean to get lost in this one issue, but tell us about this off-gassing thing, about air quality and what to look for in terms of, So we're talking sustainably made furniture, the wood parts, but what about the fabrics?
Yeah, so I think that's a very good point to bring up, because I'm very passionate about bedding and mattresses, mm-hmm. because we are supposed to sleep for 8 hours, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. you know, no matter what it is, if it's 6 hours or 8 hours, it's important.
Yeah.
But some of the mattresses do have an off-gassing, and in the instructions, they will tell you how many days. Mm-hmm. that they need to air.
Yeah.
And sometimes they are longer.
Yeah.
You know, and I would say if you smell it, I would just sleep in another room until you don't smell it.
Well, is there any way to avoid it? I mean, to me, the fact that I can smell anything at all is worrisome.
Well,
like, what is it that's coming out of these mattresses that smells so bad?
Well, it depends on you know, how they're made, and some of them have, you know, different types of foam that let off the off-gassing. There are organic mattresses, though, mm-hmm. that are totally green, that don't have mm-hmm. the off-gassing.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know, again, it's choices, and this is where you would do the research. I do feel a mattress is very important for how you feel the next day. Just using organic, natural sheets.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah.
Again, because you're breathing all that all the time. So I always feel personally that that's a good choice.
Right.
And then also your pillows are very important. You know, years ago when people would have their wood floors done and they would have to go away for the weekend, you know, when they had their floors refinished, but now you can do a water-based finish and you're okay.
So I guess that leads to my next question, which is, what are some of the health hazards that are kind of invisible? So we've talked about off-gassing. Let's talk a little bit about the floors. Is it something, when you say finished, do you mean it's it's finished in terms of the wood manufacturer finishing it, or do you mean like somebody coming in and refinishing it, or both?
Well, so it's going, usually from the factory, it's going to be cured because it's done and they have machines that heat and the system's totally different because it's in a controlled environment.
Okay.
But in your home, I'm talking about like if you have hardwood floors installed, not pre-finished.
Not pre-finished. Okay.
Right. So if you have hardwood floors, more than likely, depending on how long ago it was done, they probably have a polyurethane finish on them.
Right.
But when you go to strip them and, you know, change the finish and update it, you would do a sustainable finish and a water base.
Gotcha.
And the difference would be if you did a polyurethane years ago, they would recommend 3 top coats for a durable finish.
Uh-huh.
And with a low, you know, the water base, they recommend 4 coats.
Okay. Okay. So an extra coat, but you're not then getting all of the,
no.
Do we call it off-gassing when it's floors as well?
Yes, anything. Yeah. Because it's what goes into the air that we're breathing.
Yeah. Okay.
The other thing is paint. You know, you can get paint now that's low VOC or no VOC.
Yes. I am very aware of that since I paint all the time. So yes, I always get the no VOCs and I don't even care if it costs more because I truly notice a difference in the fact that I don't get headaches anymore.
Yeah.
When I have no VOCs in my paint. And I really did. I would get headaches immediately, like about halfway through a paint job before.
Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is see now because you it's kind of like with food, right? You've seen the value. So now you're willing to pay the extra.
Yeah.
Other thing I think a lot of times people don't see is the formaldehyde in cabinets.
Okay. Yeah. Talk about that.
Yeah. So that again is not good to breathe at all. So, you know, you want to always, if you're going to redo your kitchen, your bathroom, you just want to make sure that was not part of the process of fabricating the cabinets.
And how would we know?
It'll have it in the description. It'll tell the process.
But I mean, if I move into a home that's had many owners, how would
that
I know?
You won't know then.
So what should we do to protect ourselves in that case? Are you talking about, is the formaldehyde in the paint or in the wood itself?
It's the way the wood is fabricated together to create the cabinet.
Okay. So what should we do? Just not strip it and paint it?
Yeah, I would just leave it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like one of those things, you know, it's like oil paint. You know, if you bought a house before 78 or something, there were oil paints more.
Yes.
So they're out there, but they've been sitting there for a very long time.
Well, I guess it's kind of like asbestos or even lead. It's okay if it's not disturbed. It's one that once it starts breaking, if it breaks down, that's when it becomes a big problem.
Right. When it gets into the air.
I want to come back to these light bulbs because, CFLs were those, they were like twisty. They were not pretty. They were not pretty. But now we're moving into prettier looking options, at least with different types of color, like some a little bit more white, some a little bit more yellow. What do you recommend we look for now in terms of lighting?
Well, definitely LED is across the board. And it's been around for a long time now. I mean, I'm going to say at least, I think 10 years.
Yeah.
I think the harder part about it when it came out was years ago when I got out of school, all the lighting was the same. You could say an incandescent bulb, a halogen bulb, everybody was talking the same lingo.
Right.
But with all of this, it was hard because all the temperatures were different.
Yeah. The lumens came into play and that was confusing.
Yeah. And also just if you bought the same lumens from two different companies, they weren't the same temperature.
Gotcha.
So they've gotten better at that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, with anything, with time, everything improves. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you want a brighter light, you'd go around 3000
lumens.
3000 lumens, correct. Yep. And then if you want a softer, you do about 2500.
Okay. Okay. So LEDs for sure. And they do have, they also though, they, I don't know if that's what you mean by temperature, but some people like a softer light and some people like the brighter, cooler light, I guess, warm and cool. So you're saying the warmer ones are the lower lumens.
Correct. LEDs are very cool. They hardly use any energy. They're very energy efficient. So if you leave a light on, it's not as bad as before.
What is the easiest, smallest thing we can do to start being aware of the environment when we bring things into our home? You know, back to what you said about start small, like what are some things we could do?
Well, I'm so glad you asked that question. Because that's exactly my philosophy of my 50 Shades of Green.
Yes, tell us about that. I'm glad you brought that up.
I partner with architects, builders, and landscapers, and people in our industry, and put on events for the end user. And what we do is we take, you know, something from the outdoors, something from construction, and something from design. Mm-hmm. And we educate, we don't overdo, you know, we each talk about like three things, because I always feel anything beyond that, you can't remember.
True. Right.
And then we educate them on the importance of it. Like I'll bring a sample of a rug that's made out of recycled bottles, water bottles, and it's soft. Yeah. And the colors are gorgeous. And then people get to see it and feel it. And then they learn the benefits of it.
Right, right.
And they get to see it and touch it. And then they would not have known, oh my God, I can have that inside. It's great for my pets. And then I can have it outside. I can hose it off. And it's like a regular carpet in the house. I mean, it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
So there's all those. And then, you know, the builders will, you know, show different ways of, you know, heating, insulation.
Yes.
Outdoor living we talk about. So we do that. And it's really just because I feel the consumer doesn't know.
Right. Exactly. It still feels a little bit inaccessible to just the rest of us.
Correct. And so I feel just teaching them, that's all we're there for. We're not selling any product, you know, but we are just trying to educate the end user on, you know, really the benefits of making small steps.
Right.
Repurposing heirlooms. I have my mom's furniture was like from the 40s, early 50s. I have a white, I think people could probably picture it because of mid-century right now, right?
Oh yeah.
I have like a rounded chair. It was a swivel,
white, yes, yes,
white vinyl.
Yes. Right?
You could cuddle up with two people. And
I
then
know
it's cut out so the ottoman fits in.
Oh my gosh, yes. I know what you're talking about.
So I've had that and I've recovered it two times.
Yeah.
And my sons, which I was amazed, my mom would be like so happy. She had these end tables that had very, you know, retro, but it was quality. We're talking about quality.
Yeah.
Because if it's quality, it can be repurposed.
That's right.
And, but they have pieces, the end tables, the coffee table, have those little 1x1 mosaics.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
In a really like a chocolate bronze. They're beautiful, trimmed in gold. But they're repurposed.
Yeah.
And then you can, you know, we've used farm wood for, you know, the character of a floor in a home.
Absolutely. Yes.
And so then beautiful. You're also bringing, you know, authenticity. And it's a small step that you can take. You could buy everything else new and buy a couple of things that are reclaimed.
So these workshops that you give, you are in Chicago. So I'm assuming
yes.
they're in your area, and we will link to that. But do you also have anything online that we could link to for those of us who don't live in your area and can't come there live?
We do. We have different programs that we have had with, they're on our website.
Perfect.
And we have different things that we talk about, you know, natural fibers, linen, wool,
yeah,
you know, recycled bamboo.
Wonderful. Yes. I love to hear that. Okay. So.
Oh, and you know, one other thing I probably should just mention when they're,
sure.
if they go out shopping.
Yes. yes.
Shopping. You know, some of the things that they may not think about, like what's sustainable is eucalyptus is very sustainable.
Uh-huh.
And maple.
Oh, in terms of a wood.
Correct. So when they're looking for furnishings, like maple, bamboo, and white ash.
Good to know. And eucalyptus.
Right.
Good to know. Okay.
Yep.
Wonderful. I'm curious because you are so in the trenches with this and you a lot of clients hire you because of your breadth of knowledge in this whole area. Where do you think we're headed globally, or at least, you know, in the West?
So I feel very optimistic, and especially for the U.S. I've always been about buying product made in the U.S. when possible, but there's also sustainability now. You know, versus having something that has to come from overseas, and not that you never buy something that way, but, you know, buying locally is, you know, important. I feel that consumer demand for sustainable materials and the process has been increasing like unbelievable.
Yes.
And I think, you know, kind of like how consumers want to do the right thing.
Right.
But they, I think they want help.
Exactly. Yes.
You know, so I think manufacturers are being responding more for choices. I think sustainability is a trend. It's, you know, booming in food, cars, home construction, clothing. But I see it everywhere.
That is really good news. I'm glad to hear you are optimistic, since you work with this day in and day out.
I went to a summit in Mexico last month, and every single company was talking about sustainability.
And it wasn't necessarily a sustainability conference?
Correct.
Oh, well, that's great news.
Yeah.
Michelle, I want to wrap up and ask you my signature question. Why does style matter?
Wow.
So I always could talk about sustainable style, or just even more generally, however you want to answer that question.
Well, I think both, but I always feel your home should be your sanctuary. I always see people spend, you know, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months, whatever, planning a vacation for every member of their family to have that experience, you know, when they're on vacation. And then they come home, and 2 weeks later, like, oh God, it doesn't even feel like I left. I feel you open up the door to your home, and you should feel like you have arrived.
Oh.
Your home should give you what you need. If you need to recoup from a hard day at work, your home should have that vibe. Your children, whatever your passions are that love and make you thrive and be the best person you can be, should be in your home.
I love that. So don't just live on vacation.
Right.
Or live for vacation. Live at home the way you want to live on vacation.
Right.
Oh, that's so important. I love that reframing. Thank you.
I think from people staying home so much the last past 2 years, people have really found the value of home.
I think so too. Yeah.
And I also feel people need their own space.
Yep.
You know, so I think that open concept is not going to be quite as important as it used to be.
Interesting. Okay.
And, you know, sustainability, style feels good. Eating organics feels good. Protecting the family, the global health, you know, all of that feels good.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like most people want their home to reflect who they are, like fashion.
Right.
You want people to feel like this is your style. And it's, and of course, sustainable style matters.
It does. It totally does. And thank you so much for giving us more information today and helping us navigate. And like I said, I'll put links on our show notes page for this episode so that you can look a little bit further into it. Thank you so much for your time today, Michelle.
All right. Perfect. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. I hope that was helpful and inspiring. Do check out our website, littleyellowcouch.com, where you can see photos and links from this episode, learn about my slow style approach to design, and grab your free style guide to get you started on your signature style today. Have a great week. Bye for now. Thanks so much for listening. I know your time is valuable, and I really do appreciate you spending it with me. And please, please, please take a minute to leave a review for Slow Style Home wherever you get your podcasts. It honestly does help keep this show on the air, and your feedback is highly valuable to me. Have a great day, and I'll be back in your earbuds soon. Bye for now.